Like a person on an IV, drip, 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 he's doing something.
Dr. Tony Evans says the thorns God sends our way make us uncomfortable, but they also make us grow.
But if you keep pulling out the IV because you don't like the thorn, you'll never see the medication at work.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. Even if your life is coming up roses, you'll get your share of thorns to go along with them. But today, in this classic presentation, Dr. Evans explains that you get them for a reason, and he'll talk about specific ways we can deal with their discomfort. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as we listen in.
In verse 7, he introduces us to it, the reality of a thorn. He says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. That's not buffet me. To trouble me, to torment me, to get on my last nerve. The Greek word for thorn referred to a splinter or a needle of some kind that pricked you. We've all had a needle or a thorn or a splinter from wood to get in our finger or toe and irritate us. It could be used of a hook that catches a fish, piercing its skin, of which it can't shake itself from without tearing and making things worse. A thorn is anything that nags or irritates your life on a continuous basis. A thorn is anything that nags, irritates, exacerbates, or frustrates your life ongoingly. You can't shake it. It hangs around. Paul says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Something to irritate me. Now, you can read commentaries galore and you'll have a lot of guesswork as to what Paul's thorn was. For example, Paul talks about how when he was trying to write the churches, he had trouble seeing. In fact, he had an amanuensis, a recorder who would write for him. And so some will say, well, it was his eye problem. But still others will say, well, he was always being followed by this group called the Judaizers who were undermining his ministry. And so they were an irritation to him. Maybe it was that. Paul speaks of being lonely. He says, everyone has forsaken me. Some say it was loneliness. But the Bible never says what his thorn is. And that's good. It's good that he doesn't tell us what his thorn is so you can put your thorn here. Anything that irritates, nags, frustrates, exacerbates on a continuous level. In fact, he lays it open in verse 10. He says it can be insults, distresses, persecutions, or difficulties. God will do whatever it takes to rid us of our self-sufficiency. I've got a thorn. It hurts. Won't go away. Had it forever. Don't see any new revelation. How do I work with this thing? What's my response to the thorn? To get the thorn to do what the thorn is designed to do, what do I do? Well, let's go back to verse 8. He says, concerning this thorn, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So the first thing he did was pray about the thorn. If you have a thorn, it's getting on your nerves, nagging and irritating you, you pray about it. Paul was praying about it. And God said, no. There are only 3 answers God can give to your prayer. 1 is yes. I will grant you what you requested. The prayer of Jabez. He will give you what you requested. That's one. And everybody wants that answer. The second answer God can give you to your prayer. No. There's a third answer God can give you to your prayer. Wait. Those are the only three answers. Yes, no, or not now. If you pray for something today, and it's a legitimate prayer, and it was a legitimate prayer for Paul to pray, get rid of this thorn. Like going to the doctor's office, saying, get rid of this problem, this headache, this ulcer, this tumor. That's a legitimate prayer. If you have a thorn, it's okay to go to God and say, take it away. So it's Monday morning, you're getting on your knees, and you're saying, oh God, take away this thorn. And it doesn't go anywhere. Well, you know one answer you didn't get. Okay, so we can reduce three down to two. Because yes didn't come. There are only two other possible answers, no or not yet. Now, the problem is you don't know which one is operating. You don't know whether you're getting no, period, or no, not now. You're not sure which one that is. So how do you make it in the meantime? Here it is. Here's the verse, verse 9. And God said to me, the one who gave him the thorn said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. One of the great verses of the Bible. Let me translate that for you. God didn't grant his request, but God met his need. Moses prayed up on the mountain. He said, look, Lord, let me see your face. God said, no. No, no man can see my face and live. So any Christian who tells you, just pray and God's going to answer it because you pray, yeah, he's going to answer it, and it might be no. God is not yes all the time. Or it might be, no, not yet. Or not today. Or like we tell our children, wait. But while you wait with this needle jabbing you, you're going to learn a lesson about the greatest word in the Christian vocabulary, grace. There is no greater word than this one. Grace. Grace is God giving you what you can't give yourself. It's God's goodness overrunning you. I am not right now going to answer your request about getting rid of the thorn. But it hurts. It's sticking me, irritating me, nagging me, frustrating me. Okay. I'm not going to give you what you request, but I'm going to give you what you need. You need grace. You need me to come alongside of you and to give you, watch this now, a second wind. You know what a second wind is when you're running and you're just too tired. You just can't go any further and the transmission changes gears. And all of a sudden, you get strength you didn't have, energy you didn't have, and it was by grace, which meant it had to be given. Because grace is a gift, the Bible says. So grace is given. How much grace? He tells you in verse 9, sufficient grace. God doesn't just give grace. He gives sufficient grace. When does God give sufficient grace? When you pray. He says, I prayed, and I got an answer, and the answer wasn't what I asked for, but the answer was what I needed, sufficient to what I was going through. Now, let me tell you something. There is no thorn you're enduring that God says, no, I'm not going to get rid of, for which there is not sufficient grace to handle until your change comes. That cannot happen. Now, I'm not talking about thorns you're sticking yourself with. I'm talking about thorns given to you. But we so much want a yes answer that we miss grace. Let me show you the greatest verse on grace in the Bible. The greatest verse on grace in the Bible. The same book. Turn back a few pages. I'm gonna come back. Hold your finger there. But chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, verse 8. Here it is. Memorize this one. Write it down. Think about it all day. This will get you through anything. Verse 8 of chapter 9. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you have an abundance for every good deed. Now, he left no stone uncovered in that verse. He says God has got so much grace that it abounds, it heats up, and it happens always in all sufficiency. And it doesn't matter about the situation, in everything, so that not only do you get enough grace, you get bonus grace and abundance for every good deed. Listen. When you're trying to deal with a thorn and God hasn't taken away a thorn, don't go trying to pull it out yourself. You're going to rip something. You go searching for grace. And where did he get grace? When he prayed three times. The difference between the defeated Christian and the victorious Christian, when they both have the same thorn, is that one is experiencing grace and the other is not. That's the difference. One is being showered with grace and the other is not. Because the other is so irritated at the thorn, they spend all their time dealing with the thorn, so they never get around to the new revelation. See, there are two ways to deal with a problem. Let me explain. One way is to get rid of it. We all want to get rid of the problem. Or another way is to have something so superior happen that you forget it. Let's say you have a thorn of depression or discouragement or whatever it is. And you go home today or tomorrow from work. You open up your mail and somebody gives you a check for $1 million. Something unexpected happened that was so awesome, so great, so devastatingly glorious that it made the thorn that hasn't disappeared become insignificant. Some of you have spent your life running from your thorn and you have missed your revelation. You missed your illumination. You've missed the new thing God wants to show you and the humbling he wants to give you by making you dependent on him. Grace.
In just a moment, we'll hear about one famous person's example of facing up to life's thorns when we return to more of this lesson from Dr. Evan's timeless series, Freedom Through Forgiveness. Through the messages presented in this collection, you'll gain an understanding of the pardon you've received from God and learn how to pass on that same kind of forgiveness to people who've hurt you, and even how to forgive yourself. And right now, we'd like to send you a copy of Freedom Through Forgiveness as our gift when you make a donation to help support the work of the Urban Alternative here on the air and around the world. This special offer will only be available for a limited time, but if we hear from you right away, we'll include an added bonus, a companion booklet for this series, 30 Days to Victory Through Forgiveness, which explains why the person who benefits most from your forgiving heart is you. Visit us today at tonyevans.org for details or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after the second part of today's lesson.
Billy Graham was speeding. True story. Billy Graham was speeding. He got pulled over. And he had to pay the fine. He went to court to pay the fine, just 10 miles over the speed limit. He went in there, and the judge says, "Well, how do you plead?" He says, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. The judge didn't recognize him at first. Then the judge caught, when he heard the voice, who he is talking to. Billy Graham. He said, You're pleading guilty? He says, yeah, I was guilty. He says, Dr. Graham, this is going to cost you $100. He says, I know, I was guilty. This guy just couldn't get over. He's sitting in front of Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist in all of human history, and he's going to fine him $100 for going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. The judge reached in his pocket, pulled out a $100 bill, put it down and said, fine paid. How did Dr. Graham get that? Because of who he was. See, you got to know who you are. You have to understand who you are. Your father loves you. And yes, there are times where he tickets you, but only because he wants to show you grace. What he can do in spite of the circumstances. When God lets you see grace, what you don't deserve, he says, here's the principle, the thorns that hurt you begin to work for you. There it is. The thorns that are sticking you, that you're fussing about, got an attitude about, now begin to work for you. We've all been to the doctor. We've all been stuck by a needle. That pricks, irritates, frustrates needles. But inside the prick is medicine. The same thing hurting you is helping you. And if you say, don't stick me, because the needle hurts. Well, you may be out of the pain, but you're also out of the medication. If God is sticking you and you prayed about it, and that nothing is more irritating than having heard a sermon about trust God, pray to God, you pray to God, and he does nothing, you need to know that nothing had medicine in it. That leaving the thorn was like a person on an IV with the needle stuck in, drip, 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 he's doing something. But if you keep pulling out the IV because you don't like the thorn, you'll never see the medication at work. He says, and when you see grace, my grace, not people's grace, my grace, which came when he prayed, my power is perfected in weakness. Thorns make you weak, don't they? Thorns show you how weak you are. Because when stuff is getting on your nerves, I'm not talking about your nerve, I'm talking about your last nerve. Your weaknesses show up. When a thorn is getting on your nerves and your weaknesses show up when stuff is sticking you all the time. God says, I'm going to give you grace. If I'm saying no, and it's no if I didn't change it, or not yet, I'm going to give you grace, and then in your weakness created by the thorn that I didn't take away, the loneliness, the frustration, in that weakness, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you my power. Why? Because God loves weak things so that when it becomes strong, there is no question how it got there. There is no question who the glory goes to, who the credit goes to. So the thorns begin to work for you. That's why God used a little boy like David to kill a Goliath. That's why he told Gideon to make his army smaller, because it was through the weak things. Things that are broken, bared down. God loves to use broken things. He breaks a seed to get a plant. He breaks a cloud to get rain. And he breaks people to show them his power. He makes the thorn reduce you to a level of absolute dependency on him. So let's close. What do? I got a thorn. It won't go away. I've been trying to run from the thorn, pull the thorn out myself. It just keep coming back. And so, and I haven't seen any grace. I don't have any power. Tell me what to do. All right, let's let Paul tell you what to do. Verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. And then he says at the end of verse 10, for when I am weak, I am strong. Guess what he said I'm going to do? Brag about my thorn. Did you see that? Boast about my weakness. Brag about my thorn. Now you're going to look like, you're going to look like you done lost your ever-loving evangelical Christian Bible-believing mind. Paul said, I got this thing sticking me. Boy, isn't it great? Praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to boast about my weakness. I'm going to brag that I'm frustrated by these circumstances. I'm going to brag and I'm going to praise him. And the reason that I am going to praise him is because when I am weak, when I can't see my way out, when I don't know which way to go, he going to show up and I'm going to see his strength. You say, well, why haven't I seen it yet? Because you haven't been boasting yet. You've been complaining, grumbling, fussing, cussing. You haven't been praising, blessing, bragging, and boasting. You haven't approached the thorn right yet. All you keep saying is, it's not fair. Why me? Why now? I'm tired. I don't believe that God answers prayer. That's not how you handle a thorn. He says you boast in it and chill with it. I will be content with it. You chill. You stay right where you are and you chill with it. There's this office building that didn't build enough elevators. They didn't make enough elevators for the building. And so people had to wait a long time for the elevators. You've been in a building like that, don't seem to have enough elevators for the size of the building. So people waiting and they mad and everything. So they had to decide what to do about this building, what to do about this building, because it was too expensive to put another elevator in. It would cost too much money, but they couldn't have their people waiting like that, being discontent. And they came up with a novel idea. On every floor, they put mirrors. Every single floor, mirrors all around where the elevators were. So folks spent time looking at themselves. Go around looking. They discovered if they could focus on something else. Somebody not praying with me. If they could focus on something else, it'll make the wait for the elevator not seem as long. Some of you are tired of waiting, but you're focusing on the wrong thing. God says, boast about your weakness. Focus on me while you wait for God to bring the elevator to deliver you from the floor he got you stuck on. You've got to shift your focus while you wait for your change.
Dr. Tony Evans, with advice on understanding the purpose behind the pain we sometimes experience. Part of his timeless series from the archives called Freedom Through Forgiveness. As I mentioned earlier, this audio collection, as well as a copy of the companion booklet for the series, 30 Days to Victory Through Forgiveness, is yours with our thanks when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Just visit us online at tonyevans.org to get all the details. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. God's forgiveness is a gift. But Dr. Evans says the grudges we hold toward others can prevent us from receiving it. On our next broadcast, we'll learn all about the prayer that leads to pardon. Be sure to join us for that.